Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Newsom doubles down on the oppression. He is looking more and more like Pharaoh every day. I mean, each week it seems he tightens his squeeze on Californians and upon Christ churches. I'm going to present my remarks delivered on the steps of the Capitol during our Freedom to Assemble rally, October 9, in the second segment of the show today. Will the debates actually decide this coming election? What purpose do debates serve anyway? I think everyone on all sides agrees that Pence won his first round with Kamala, whatever. The MSM are in full campaign mode for the Biden-Harris ticket, we see. Well, who didn't know that? But it's so obvious it's becoming, well, embarrassing. Why are the left so afraid of a cure for COVID? You'd think they'd be happy. Look at these people. They're disgusting. You know, they're devastated that Trump has survived their beloved COVID, and so quickly, too. And who is blowing up the COVID-19 relief talks, eh? Understanding Trump's negotiating techniques and how he's running circles around Nancy might be something interesting to look at today. Let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, is Biden under investigation for his role in the Ukraine and Russia scandals? Interesting. I picked up a little blip on my radar. I followed it down. It looks like that might be something that's in the works. But most likely after the election, I understand. Netflix indicted for showing Cutie. They continue to insist it is a film about the horrors of child exploitation. What a joke. This thing is more like an advertisement to promote sexual exploitation of children. Okay, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Do debates decide elections? What purpose do they serve? Debates have decided, I think, maybe a handful of elections, perhaps. And I mean major elections, like for president. It is interesting the farther down that ladder you go, the more significant influence it seems that debates have. And that's because debate is less politically charged with partisan interests in races that are farther down the ladder, you know, like for dog catcher. sheriff, mayors, council members, and stuff like that. Also, when the election is about the candidates running, debates have more influence on elections. If there is a large group in the middle that's undecided, but that group in the middle that's undecided is very small this year. Anyway, what I said might surprise you. So let's look at this more deeply. I don't think this current election is about personalities. Every one of these Trump haters was a Trump lover when Trump was content to stay on the sidelines and throw his money into their races. The reason they hate him now is because, well, he is a threat to their ideological agenda or the agenda of their masters, you know, the people that own them. On the Republican side, the aristos, that's what Rush calls the country club Republican. I might refer to them as card-carrying Club of Rome globalists. Anyway, these guys hate Trump because, well, he's a major threat to their globalist agenda. Now, the left used to love him too, you know. They believed he was one of theirs. The Democrats hate Trump because he came out to be a Republican. And worse, an America-loving Republican who believes America is first. And then worse than that, a God-fearing American first patriot. Wow, he's upsetting their program intending to transform America into a socialist communist country. The globalists and the Marxists have a lot in common. And one thing that brings them together right now is each sees Trump as hell's enemy number one. I mean, you've heard of public enemy number one, now you get it. So you see, while there is a more or less significant number of Christians who do take Trump's boldness, his strong personality, and what they regard is a braggadocio to be repugnant. So for them, yeah, I would say this is for them a personality election. And that's typical for superficial Christianity today. But I stray. This election is about fundamental principles of governance. It's about liberty versus tyranny. There has been no election less about personalities than this one. I mean, look at who the left put up. It's not about the man, friend. This election is a vote to either retain the system of governance our founders bequeathed to us, or give it up for socialism and communism. I mean, this is the spirit of Jesus Christ, because wherever he is, you have liberty, versus the spirit of Antichrist, because wherever you find that spirit, you have tyranny. And since it is kingdom policy right now, from the head, Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, his policy right now is to offer the kingdom, not force it on people. Therefore, the people are going to be allowed to decide, as they were in the days of Israel, by the way, in Hosea 8:4, where God lamented, "They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made themselves princes, and I knew it not." So God allows us to make these messes. And we've messed up so bad. All we can hope for right now, and I mean by we Christians, the children of obedience, those translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the best we can hope for is forgiveness and grace to keep our liberties for yet another generation. And then to dedicate ourselves to diligently teach our people, especially our children, the truth about America. So in this climate, debates are not likely going to make a whole lot of difference. Except in one thing. These debates do allow Trump to get his message around the wall or through the wall that has been set up by the left to block anything positive or good about what Trump has done from getting to the people generally. We must hope that America will remember when we had the lowest unemployment rate almost for the entire history of this country under Trump, and so many other very good. Think about what's been developing in the Middle East. Do you want to stop that? Come on. I mean, friend, the MSM are in full campaign mode for the Biden-Harris ticket, and they are working hard to build a wall to stop the Trump message from getting to their audience. They want their message to get to Trump's audience, but they don't want his message to get to their audience. Yeah. And it's so obvious, it's embarrassing. Trying to control social media. It just goes on and on. Now, I'm going to read something to you that I read lately out of the LA Times. And if you saw that debate between Pence and Harris, you tell me whether or not what I'm going to read here in a moment is an exaggeration. You tell me whether or not it is an exaggeration for me to say that the LA Times is literally running a Biden campaign disinformation operation. It's totally no longer a news organization. Of course, that's been true for some time now, but now it's just getting embarrassing, as I pointed out. And by the way, even if you didn't see the debate, any reasonable person can see that the Times is not just in the Biden corner. They are writing the news as campaign literature for the Biden-Harris ticket. Quote, "Vice President Mike Pence struggled to get the Trump campaign back on track in a heated but disciplined debate with Senator Kamala Harris that contrasted sharply with the chaotic clash last week between the presidential nominees." Continuing the quote, "Meeting in Utah with plexiglass barriers separating the candidates, Pence staunchly defended and frequently recast President Trump's record and rhetoric, painting a rosy picture of the pandemic, glossing over Trump's defense of hate groups, and suggesting the president had won the trade war with China," end quote. Okay, now, I don't know how attuned your ears might be to hearing lib speak, but I'm very well trained in this. So you see that if this is what people hear 24/7 from the DNC propaganda campaign centers called the MSM, then you see the constant assumption of certain lies being true. That Trump defends hate groups. That is a documentable lie. He does not defend hate groups. That is such a horrible, wicked, and evil lie. Shame on you, LA Times, for saying such a bald-faced lie. And then painting a rosy picture of the pandemic only because he didn't buy into your beating the drum of doom and gloom constantly. You're the one that is actually making a Godzilla out of a little lizard. Follow the science. How about we just get back to the science of all this? And then this idea that Trump lost the trade war with China? You gotta be kidding me. All those jobs that had been sent over to China come back home now, all this kind of stuff. I hope people don't have such a short memory that this pandemic fiasco didn't completely obliterate their brain and they're unable to remember what it was like before this thing came down on us. And by the way, all of these points, these are Chinese propaganda bits. That's what it is. And I'm sorry to say it, but the fact is China owns the DNC. Yeah, the DNC has been getting money funneled to them from China for a long time. This goes all the way back to Bill Clinton. The DNC gets their talking points from China. Now, thinking about China, what's with the love affair between the DNC and the China virus? Why are the left so afraid or so resistant to good news about a cure developing or good therapies developing for COVID? Look at these people. After I landed in San Francisco, got my car on my way to my room, I listened to some liberal broadcasters. Apparently, Vice President Pence had canceled the rest of his agenda for that day and, as they put it, hurried back to Washington, D.C. And they were all stirred up about, what does this mean? Does this mean Trump has gotten sick? A turn for the worse. You know, he's still not out of the woods, they say to each other. He could be dying. He could, you know, and I tell you what, they're hoping Trump dies, man. That's what they want. These people are so wicked because every little thing that happens, they jump on it and lob on it like, oh boy, this could mean Trump's going to die. So why are they so resistant to saying amen when Trump reveals that this therapeutic that he used has been greatly benefiting him and helping him recover? Why do they keep having to knock that down? They need this virus, friend. They need it. The relationship between the DNC and China and China's visceral hatred for Donald Trump for trumping them in the trade deals, their actions with regard to the release of the virus, right? Closing all travel from Wuhan to anywhere else within China, but leaving it open to everywhere else, and especially America, where the guy that was sick with it and got on the plane and came to America, there's still some funny business about how it is he got sick with it. And so it's beginning to look more and more like phase two of Crossfire Hurricane. Crossfire Hurricane, you remember, was a conspiracy to use the CIA and the United States Justice Department with the FBI to do a campaign opposition research on Trump. And when they couldn't get anything on him, they decided to employ the services and extensive contacts of the CIA and the Department of Justice and the Pentagon, kind of got involved in this a little bit, to create a fake dossier paid for by the DNC with the help of their friends in Russia. So then that fizzled. Well, they got some mileage out of it, to be sure, but in the end, it failed to stop Trump from getting elected. So they decided to try to use it to get him impeached. And then that didn't work out. So now they have this China virus attack. And while to me, it's beginning to look like this was orchestrated, I'm still studying it. I'm beginning to go this far so far. It might have simply been one of those disasters, crises, that the left is too smart to waste. But in any event, listen to this from the LA Times. Quote, trailing in the polls a month before Election Day, Trump reprised his argument that he shouldn't be blamed for the COVID-19 pandemic, yet again made no mention of the more than 211,000 Americans who have died in the last 6 months. Okay, so I've heard Trump make mention of those who have died from this disease several times, and always with compassion and concern, and Vice President Pence also. By the way, I've noticed far more compassion and concern about the people who died coming from Trump and Pence than from any Democrat. The only way Democrats, if you notice this, the only way Democrats even talk about the 200,000 plus is in a context where they're trying to make some kind of political hay with it. And they're saying that there are 211,000 that died of COVID. Now, they never say that directly because they know they'll get caught by the fact checkers. And then the fact checkers will have to unwillingly, reluctantly, go ahead and say, well, no, that's not true. So they try to word this in a way where they can say that without saying it. And they do it in this sentence I read earlier. More than 211,000 Americans who have died in the last 6 months. They don't say they're 211,000 COVID deaths. And I'm going to explain this to you in just a minute. But in any event, how is that Trump's fault? Doesn't that insult you? Anybody with the ability to think at a level of that 7-year-old knows that this is not right to blame Trump for all of these deaths. Doesn't that make you sick to your stomach? How wicked are these people when they can so flippantly blame Trump for this virus and for these deaths when it's actually the reverse? I mean, it's mind-boggling. The only thing stranger is the number of people who accept this. But you know what? They know better. They're not accepting this any more than they accept the fact that the left is responsible for the murder of 60 million babies. Now, by the way, that's not a political statement. That's a statement of fact. More than 60 million babies have been murdered since 1973, and now they want to kill them up to term, and some are even calling for murdering babies after they're born. Some go so far as to say, for a whole year, I've heard some of these crazy people say 3 years. America, are you dead? How can you possibly rationalize accusing Trump for killing 211,000 people that died of COVID-related issues when you know he did everything possible to stop it, when you know that you've done everything you can to encourage the continual murdering of little babies in the wombs? You know that while Biden and Harris stand and accuse him of this, they've never, not one time, told us what they would have done differently. I mean, except to insinuate that they would have completely destroyed our fundamental liberties. You know that Biden was opposed to Trump issuing that travel ban from Wuhan. He was opposed to it. Look, first off, we don't really know how many died because of this virus. We do know that about 7,000 died of COVID-19 exclusively. That's it. That's the number of people who died of COVID-19 without comorbidities. In other words, of the 211,000 COVID-related deaths, only 7,000 of these died from COVID-19 or the China virus. We don't know how many died with other diseases that had weakened them, making them more vulnerable to COVID-19, so that when they contracted it, the COVID-19 significantly contributed to their dying with these comorbidities. We don't know what that number is, but I can tell you that that number would very likely have died if they contracted pneumonia or any of a great number of other flus that are out there. We don't know that number. They do, by the way, but they're not telling us about that number. Also, we don't know how many died of some other disease or accident, but because they tested positive for COVID, were counted as a COVID death. We don't know what that number is. And we don't know how many died of, well, let's say a motorcycle accident that was accidentally counted as a COVID death. We don't know what that number is either. They know what these numbers are. Yeah, they're keeping track of this because they got to shift back over to real science after this election. So they're watching this thing. These people are just so wicked. We don't know what the real number is, but what we do know is that there are certain people in certain positions for whom a large number is very politically advantageous, and it's something that they really, really, really need. So we got to get those numbers up. We know that those people are out there, and we know they are a pack of liars and cheats, and we know that they put together strange and labyrinthine engines of deceit to further their purposes. We know that. And that these people never miss an opportunity to manipulate a crisis into a political issue to further their agenda, and that they will create a crisis out of a non-crisis, too, if they have to. We do know that they changed the way they counted deaths from a virus from the way they used to. And we don't know what the number would be today if they used the same system they used, say, back during the swine flu and so on. Right? Think about this stuff. We do know this change, here's what it did. It allowed them to include deaths as COVID deaths that otherwise, as Burke put it, she admitted it, she said it right out loud in front of God and everybody, would have been missed. Now, these are things we know. So, based on what we know, it certainly does look like we are being scammed and that this China virus is being used to rob us of our liberties and steal an election. All right, I'm going to need to wrap this segment. Went a little bit long in order to have space I need for the next one. We'll need to close it here. All right, hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Folks, I've gone a bit long in this segment. We're going to skip the break and just roll right along.
Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy's on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I just noticed I had failed to plug in my Go mic. And so I was using the computer's inboard mic on the last segment. I don't have time to go back and fix that. I hope it wasn't too grating upon your delicate ears. But let's go ahead. I am so honored to have had the privilege to speak the gospel on the steps of the Capitol here in Sacramento today, which is where I'm preparing the show right now. I thought the event went very well. I praise God for the men
who dedicated themselves to prepare, to do all the work to get this ready. And then I'm so humbled that the group decided to allow me the honor of preaching the gospel from the steps of the Capitol. So I'm going to give you, or at least get started on presenting to you the remarks I made on the Capitol here today. I'm honored to stand with you this day and to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 32 verse 31 says, "For their rock is not our rock." Now the rock refers to the god or the gods of a people. And Deuteronomy 32:37 makes that clear, where it says, "And he shall say, where are their gods? Their rock in whom they trusted. Our rock is Christ. Their rock is not." God is the rock of his people. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to guide men from darkness to light, to save us from the power of Satan by the power of God. The Bible says Christ is our rock. And upon that rock, Jesus built his church, the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. In the Bible, God declares that the rock of the heathen is not the rock of his people. What does this word mean, heathen? All who are not God's people. Their rock is not our rock. Our rock is Christ. Our trust is in the rock, Jesus Christ the Lord. Their rock is not Christ. They trust in the god of this world, Mammon, the almighty dollar, the god of forces. They use violence and force to take power. They instinctively hate our rock. They hate Christ on a level sometimes so deep they don't even realize it. But it manifests in their rejection of Jesus Christ as Lord. And make no mistake about it, Jesus Christ is Lord. God sent his rock into the world, and Christ, his son and heir of the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of man, defeated their rock. On the cross, Jesus died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And he was buried, and on the third day, he arose from the dead, according to the scriptures. And by this, he broke the power of sin by which Satan held this world under his power. And Jesus took from him the power of death and arose again and declared that to him was given all. I said all power. And the word translated power there is exousia. It means right to rule as sovereign Lord over all. All heaven and earth, Jesus said, to him was given all power over heaven and the earth. All kings, all kingdoms are under him. He is Lord of all. But you see, not everyone agrees with that. Some reject the Son of God, who was sent to offer peace on earth and God's goodwill toward all men. Jesus spoke of them in his parable of the nobleman. After he had risen and ascended into heaven, he said they will cry after him, "We will not have this man," speaking of Jesus, "to reign over us." Luke 19:12-27. David spoke of them 1,000 years before God sent his king into the earth in Psalm 2, where it says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." The bands and cords of righteousness, of God's law, and of God's will. They chafe against these bands and cords. They want to pursue their wickedness, but it's to their own destruction. And they desire to break away or break out from under the bands and cords of God's love and his law, to come under the bands and cords of sin and of wickedness, and they will pay for that so dearly. They are the children of disobedience, spoken of by Paul in Ephesians 2:2, where we are told Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. These children of disobedience rail against God and against his anointed. They refuse to acknowledge Christ Jesus is Lord. And this is the reason they edit references to Christ from statements of our founders when they quote them. This is why when they cite the core principle of our founding, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, they omit reference to the creator or stumble all over it, blithering something like, you know the deal, or you know the thing, disrespectful of one of the most sublime declarations ever uttered by the human tongue. All men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And my friend, these rights belong to every human being from the moment of conception until they expel their last breath on earth. This is why they omit "under God" in their recitation of the pledge. This is the foundation of the insanity that's gripping our state and our entire nation. They decree access to marijuana, alcohol, casinos, essential business. Gatherings of large, unruly assemblies to protest are esteemed a right so essential that exceptions must be made to protect it. even at the cost of public safety. And yet, these same voices have the audacity to tell us that gathering in church to worship the Creator is non-essential. Only someone blind in that darkness from which Jesus came to save us cannot see the contradiction or discern the spirit that's operating here. The spirit behind the recent spat of unlawful decrees from our governor to close churches is kindred with those who, with increasing regularity, omit "under God" when reciting the pledge, or forget, you know, the thing about all of us being created equal. Black lives, blue lives, all lives endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. My friend, we've been saying all lives matter for a very, very long time. Clearly, all of this is in league with the same spirit that burns the Bible and uses an American flag for kindling. And I'm talking about BLM Antifa protesters. And for what else explains why those who say church is not essential have nothing to say about these radical self-avowed Marxists, God-denying, America-despising, communist-China-loving, and probably Soros-funded Marxists who are setting fire to our businesses, commandeering our streets, killing our neighbors, stopping drivers, jumping their cars, terrorizing our children, threatening our communities, making millions in this state live in fear. The Bible calls them children of disobedience. What does the Bible say of these children of disobedience? The Bible tells us that they may be taken captive by Satan at his will, as we have daily witness. On the other hand, the Bible refers to those whose rock is Christ, and these are the children of obedience. Obedience to what? What distinguishes these children of disobedience from the children of obedience? Those who obey the gospel are children of obedience. Those who refuse are the children of disobedience. What does the gospel command? The Bible says God now commands all men everywhere to repent. And the Bible tells us we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The command of the gospel is to repent unto God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does repent mean? Let the Apostle Paul explain it to you. He has some authority in the matter. It means to turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Now, how do you do this? You must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. If you will obey the gospel right now, you will be saved. Confess Jesus is Lord. Believe he arose, breaking the power of Satan when he did, and conquering the principality and powers, and receiving all power in heaven and in earth also. Well, then call upon him in humble prayer to receive his forgiveness of sins and the new birth to become a child of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Patrick Henry said, not only give me liberty or give me death, but also we must never forget the United States was built not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our rock. So in conclusion, the Honorable Governor of California is called upon to bow the knee to his King, Jesus Christ. Pelosi, bow to the authority of Christ, the King. Feinstein, Schiff, Lowe, all of you are welcome into the family of God. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and call upon his name to be saved, well, let's invite Xi Jinping in China. Let's invite the King of Saudi, all the Imams of Iran. God loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross to save you. He is the King, and you must bow the knee and confess that he is Lord. My friend, church is essential, now more than ever. In every great crisis down through history, whether it be pestilence or hurricane or drought or war, God's people have turned to the house of God, not closed it. For the house of God is the house of prayer. And in repentance and faith, they prayed, and as God promised, he hears us if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. O God, stir your people that they might humble themselves today and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways of forsaking you, of forsaking the house of God, of forsaking your word. And revive us again, O Lord, revive us again and heal our land. My friends, I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on, 1-805-314-2114, or go to godswar2020.com to send me an email. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.